Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be back on our live broadcast for our, not our live broadcast, our radio broadcast for the studying the Word of God on today. I give God all praise and all glory tonight. We're going to get ready to have like a short devotion, and then we're going to get ready to get into the Word of God. After the devotion, we'll start our reading. We're going to have a scripture sung and a prayer. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 49. Hear this, O ye people, give ear, O ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditations of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sands unto the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in their multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceases forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth the wise men die. Likewise, the fools and the brutish people perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abide not. He is like the beast that perish. Their way is their folly, yet the prosperity approve their saving. They say their sins. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave for their dwelling. I have just read you the first 14 verses of Psalms 49. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to just have a song right now.
Me.
Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, I come right now, God, just asking you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase, and minister this word to us tonight, God. Open up our minds, our thoughts, our hearts in the name of Jesus that we may receive your word, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you on tonight, Father, to take over, Holy Ghost, and take control of this Bible class, the study of your word, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice and their families. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you right now for how you're going to teach us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, and we bind the strong man from this radio broadcast. We bind the strong man from our lives, every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is counsel right now. Right now, your assignment is counsel. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. So we're going to get ready to go into our reading in Ruth chapter 1.
Amen. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to journey in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi, and the name of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Therefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice, and they lifted up their voice and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thine people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Will ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught put to death, part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went unto, they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass that they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord have brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Until the Lord have testified against me, and the Almighty have afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen.
Chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. Did I say it right?
Elimelech.
Mm-hmm. And his name was Boaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of
Elimelech.
And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had tended even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me. After that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy husband and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art came unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Okay. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where?
Routest thou?
Mm-hmm. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, be he of the Lord. He has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maiden, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. We don't have but a few little questions, so we're going to answer these three questions. Woo. All the questions they could have asked, they ain't asking nothing. But in chapter one, where did Naomi and Elimelech move? Where did they move? Okay.
They number went to the country of Moab and remained there.
Yep. That's right. Who returned with Naomi to Bethlehem?
Ruth did.
Okay, chapter 2. Whose field did Ruth glean in?
Boaz.
Yes, Boaz.
Yep.
Yep. So that's really all of that. And so, I mean, you have to just go back. I mean, I don't know if you all got any kind of meaning out of this, but Ruth is a good book. It's a good, good book for as for a woman looking for a husband. So, like Prophetess Brown was saying, this was just, I think it's about the end, or if it wasn't the end, it was getting close to the end where the judges was. And at this point, the judges, that was in at that time was Ehud, and one part was Shamgar. I think Ehud was one was that they were under the judge Ehud at that time, and at that time it was a famine in the land, and I had studied where it was saying okay it was 10 famines from Genesis until I don't know, but it was 10 because it was one. Let me see. Okay. The first was in the days of Adam. The second one was in the days of Lamech. The third famine was in the days of Abraham. The fourth famine was in the days of Isaac. The fifth famine was in the days of Jacob, because y'all know Jacob was in Israel. I think he was in Israel. And Joseph had been sold and all that. Anyway, he ended up over all of the food and stuff that was in Egypt. And then he wanted his dad to come so that he could take care of them and the family. And that's what happened. He did come. So it was a famine. I mean, if he hadn't did what he did, everybody would have started there. And the sixth famine was in the days of Boaz. And the seventh famine was in the days of King David, and the eighth in the days of Elijah the prophet, and the ninth in the days of Elisha, and Samaria in the tenth is yet to come. Y'all hear me? Yet to come. Because that's what they talking about now, famine in the land. And in verse 2, do anybody have any questions or anything? Say for I start summarizing some things Okay. So, in verse 2, Elimelech, and that means God is my king, that name. Naomi's name means beautiful. Malon's name means infirmity. Chilion's name means finished or complete. Those names mean that. Verse 4, and they took them wives. They took, wives. Strange women. So they married strange women. And Malon and Chilion died, I guess, because they took strange women. And because they transgressed the decree of the word of the Lord and joined affinity with strange people, therefore their days were cut off. I figured that because they died too quick. They went and married some strange women. And so that's why, because Ruth wasn't from where they from Moab, and Orpah was either. Y'all just forgive me. Let me see if I can get some. Okay. Divine. Okay. Things are just ringing. Y'all hear me? Anyway. Verse 6. She had heard by the month of an angel said, the Lord had visited his people of the righteous. It's kind of sad. Let me stop this thing. Anyway, okay. Thanks. And the Lord has visited. See, the thing is, they were trying to get somewhere what they had heard that the angels was visiting the people of Moab and says the Lord had visited his people because of the righteousness of Boaz. And at that time he was a judge. But that ain't what the name it says Abazan. But that's Boaz, because of the supplications of pious Boaz. It is imagined and not without probability that Malon and Chilion are the same as Josiah, whatever that is, and Sapphira mentioned in First Chronicle. These people right here were the same people that was over in First Chronicles 22. They couldn't be, but they probably seen that they did. They married strange women, where the Hebrew should be the translated and who married in Moab and dwelt in Lehim. So in verse 11, are there yet any more sons? This was spoken in allusion to the custom that when a married brother dies without leaving prosperity, his brother should take his widow, and the children of such marriage were accounted to the children of the deceased brother. So, when you marry, like if I married like I'm married to Ed, and he something happened to him. His brother was supposed to marry me, and if we have any children, they would be accounted unto him because they had the same last name and everything. That don't uphold today. I mean, I'm not saying that don't happen because I've seen it happen. It wasn't a brother. It was like a sister or something in that effect. But I don't think it's right in the sight of God. I just don't know. But I wouldn't marry. Nobody can to Jim. I wouldn't marry Jim and nobody can to him. And I know she wouldn't marry Ed and nobody can to him. So it's just, I guess, the way the years went by and went past, you know, they went past. Things change, you know, things change over the years, and the kingdom, the kings and the queens changed, the rulers that ruled at that time, they changed all kind of laws and stuff, so it made a difference in this thing. And then over in chapter 2, the first verse says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So he was a mighty man of wealth. And it says, we have already seen that some supposed Boaz, I don't know why I keep calling this man Boaz, to have been out of the judge of Israel, and I know he was a judge of Israel. Yep, he was a judge of Israel. Okay. He was no doubt a man of considerable property, so he owned a lot. He owned a lot out there. And so, you just like I was saying, that the brother, when one of the brothers died and left a wife, the other brother would take the wife, the widow. So Boaz was like, it was Naomi's kinsman, like they family. I don't know how close, but I know they were family. So I know he was looking at Ruth just for what she was doing out in the field. Just because she stayed out there all night long, and he told his guys, whoever they were, his workers, to leave some for her. Let her have some. Just don't bother her. Let her glean as much as she wants to. And let me see. The word gleans come from the French gleaner, to gather ears of grains of corn. And after him, in whose sight I shall find grace, she did not mean Boaz, but she purposed to go out where they were now reaping and gleaning, and who might permit her, because she didn't know whose property it was. All she knew was she had to get some food in for Naomi, because Naomi was old and that was her mother-in-law. So she was taking her like as a mother figure. So she went out to get food and stuff to take care of her mom. And he made it so where she was really, she felt really, really good about doing this, her doing this. Naomi was blessed by it. She asked her, what have you done? What did you glean? And, you know, when you went out and she was telling her, and then she told her about Boaz, and that's on over in chapter 3, though, but she was telling her about Boaz still. And it's going to come out, and I want to talk too far because I've been reading and studying and stuff out of this commentary. It's good. It says, after him in whose sight I shall find grace, she did not mean Boaz, but but she purposed to go out where they were not reaping. So she was anybody that would let her get a part of whatever they had reaped. She would take it. And the word seems to intimidate that, notwithstanding that the law of Moses, the gleaners might be prevented by the owner of the field. So Boaz could have stopped her, but he didn't. He told his workers, let her glean. Let her glean. Because, you know, when he first came, he said, who is that damsel? And they told him about this is Naomi's daughter-in-law. So he was already watching her. And her haps was, so she was incidentally led to that part of the cultivated country which belonged to Boaz. Verse 4, Boaz came from Bethlehem. This salutation between Boaz and his reapers is worthy of particular regard. They said, I don't know what they say, maybe may Jehovah bless thee. Can a pious mind read these godly salutations without wishing for a return of those simple primitive times? The words may be thus paraphrased, may God be with you to preserve you from incident and strengthen you to accomplish your work. May God bless thee with the increase of the field and grace to use his bounty to the glory of the gleaner. So they just trying to bless the ones that's gleaning in the field. Verse 5 said, his servant that was set over the reapers, this was a kind of steward or hen who had the under management of the estate, so that think that the officer of the kind, this kind is intended in the description given by Homer of the laborers of a harvest field. So he was just over them. There too he formed the likeness of a field crowded with corn in which the reapers toiled, each with a sharp tooth sickle in his hand. So they was cutting with a sickle, but what I'm saying is this thing right now is happening right now, y'all. This is happening right now. It's somewhere down south. That black farmer came on the other night and said this, and I told y'all before, he said this is not Democrat, Republic, or independent farmer. This just the farmer. And if we don't get some help, you won't have nothing on the shelf next year. You're not going to have anything because we don't have anything. And I saw where it wasn't even any corn up or nothing. He said, we don't have nothing to mow down. Same here. That's where that famine and stuff coming from. See, it said, and this commentary said all the way from 10 or 9, and the 10th one haven't came yet, as of yet. But I believe it's coming. I just believe it's coming. To be real careful, and we gotta be good stewards over what God give us, and God give us wisdom on how to do things. I just looked up today. I went on my Google and looked up how to can vegetables, cause I'm gonna get me some. I'm gonna get some, and I'm gonna put them in those mason jars and put them in my basement. That's what I'm gonna do. They'll stay 5 or 10 years. Right there. You can do fruit and vegetables. This is what you need to do. This is right on time for us to even think about a famine in the land. It started with the baby and the milk. Even though Biden
said,
"Could I say
something?"
Yeah.
Okay. What I really got out of Ruth doing what she did, I think she was, to me, was merely led by God. I just really commend her, you know, for such actions, you know, because a lot of times, like, we're not working. So a lot of people don't work now. You know, everybody want to have businesses. you know, want people to buy and support them. But this to me shows that she was wonderfully hard, a hard working spirit, a spiritual woman. It was a great spirit in her. And to me, it was spiritual. And she was being led by God by doing what she did. Because, I mean, she would not have been more spiritual just to be sitting back at home and praying for food.
Right.
I think that she was led by God to go to those fields. And it
she
basically
was.
Shows us some of the wonderful ways that the invisible hand of God's work. Because, if you think about it, if Ruth would have stayed home waiting for a spiritual feeling, she probably might have waited too long. You get what I'm saying? Like, some people
That's
don't,
right.
they, you know, and still probably would have gone to the wrong field instead.
Right.
She experienced a very natural moving of the supernatural hand of God. I don't know. I don't want to get too deep, but she really experienced something. I mean, how many people you know that will get up and move in a difficult situation? This was a famine. You know what I'm saying? Most people wouldn't. And I mean, God had to lead her to such a field because he had them to leave it on the ground for her and for all of them, actually. Because I do believe at that time, you know, it was really commanded that the farmers have to generously leave the overage, you know, don't cut the tree all the way down. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Leave some
for
the poor.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so I think that, you know, she was really being led by God. And, I mean, I know women, we are strong, you know. And, I mean, most of us, we don't even know we're strong until we have to be. And you don't know you're strong
That's
until
right.
your family don't have nothing to eat. Then you'll be trying to put you something out on the back porch. You know, we can talk to women to they blue in the face until they get a situation like this. And then they want to think of something, which – you know, sometimes we need a push, and sometimes there be that extra push for us to get up and plant some seeds and go get us some topsoil and, you know, learn
read
and Google some stuff. You know, the older you are, I guess, the more wisdom some have. And, you know, I hear prophetess talking about canned foods and canning this and canning that. And in my mind, I'm sitting up thinking, like, oh, boy, I'm going to be on my way to her house if something happens. Come on, can them up. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But if that's why I had to say something, because I'm sitting up thinking like, oh, me and my hope, I know where the food at. I promise you I do. But it's much more bigger than that because it's spiritual. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's providing for your house, you know, especially in these trying times. This is almost just like that. You know, I just think that we need to, as people, to be prepared for such measures, you know. So that's all I have to say. Ruth just really inspired me, along with your canning fruits and vegetables.
But you know what? She was trying to make sure Naomi had what she needed because she was considering her as her mom. So she was trying to take care of them, too, because they didn't have nobody else. The other girl went back. She went right on back. So Ruth and Naomi didn't have nobody, but Naomi was considered, everybody respected her because she was married to Elimelech. And he was highly respected in that time. So everybody knew who she was. They knew who she was. So everybody had to do what they had to do to make it. Every family had to do what they had to do. That's why Boaz owned that land. He owned that land out there. He didn't have to let nobody cut and glean on that land. But he let Ruth do it. He said, leave her some so she can have some. So it was just like Prophetess McKinney said, it was just the favor in the hand of God that allowed her to get it, to have something in order to be able to feed her and Naomi. It was just the favor of God, the hand of God, and then sent her right on to Boaz, and Boaz is part of the family, and they want the daughter-in-law to marry somebody in the family. She was a pretty close family member, relative. So in the other chapters, we'll see what happens. I don't want to go too far. I want you all to see this about Ruth, because God used Ruth. God used Ruth. And it's going to be some more things about Ruth. You'll see. You'll see. I want to talk too much because I want you all to
one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
Could I say one more thing?
Yes.
Because this is really, I'm really enjoying this Ruth thing here. I also came across how, you know, strangers, how, you know, the Bible says that we should be kind to the strangers amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
But this also applies to me on a whole nother level. Because, I mean, our society today is no longer structured around family for many people. It's mostly important, you know, like your circle. You hear most women saying, you know, my circle is small. You know, you got a small circle of associates. And, I mean, it's their friends, but it's small.
Right.
We became, you know, if you think about right now how many friends you have, but back when you was being raised, you know, it take a village to raise a child, so you knew everybody on your street. Even to this day, I sort of kind of know everybody on my grandmother's street, everybody on the 44th street where I live. I knew those people. Right now, I couldn't even tell you the next door neighbor name.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying? So command to love the strangers, it means that we should not only associate with those of our own tribe, you know, in our small circle, but we should also welcome those outside of our tribe. See, Ruth was outside of the tribe. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That she worked in picking up all of that stuff, the glean.
Yeah.
I might add. You know, the glean, when she was gleaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she was, you know, they was used to each other every day out there gleaning.
Yeah.
You know, with each other. They was used to that. You know, so to me, it's just a whole nother thing that, you know, some people, they treat strangers better than they do their family. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm you'll find other people talking about how they talk to strangers and they welcome them in more than so than their families or whatever, you know. But we should always accept, and we should always be kind to strangers. You never know.
That's
if
right.
Entertaining an angel, you just never know. That's why you always want to be kind to people. Period. So that's
right.
All I have to say.
Amen, and that's good enough. I thank and praise God for this. For next week, we'll get Tuesday will be the last of Ruth, because that'll be the last of the two chapters in Ruth, and we want to really, really get deep into Ruth, because that'll be the last of Ruth. And then on Thursday, well, we don't have it Thursday, but the next Tuesday, we'll start off in 1 Samuel. And that is really good books. Those are really, really good books. You're going to like those and everything. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to hold you because I have to go to class now. But we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the study of your word, God. I ask you right now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. just cover their families and their homes, their vehicles, God, in the blood of Jesus, encamp angels all around about them to protect them. And thank you, God, for not letting a tornado just tear up everywhere, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you for directing it another way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you today. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. 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 So let it be so. God bless you all. I will. Now, look, tomorrow night, I want to have about a half hour church meeting. I just want to let y'all know what's going on. I want to let y'all know what's going on. So I will, hold on, y'all. Just one moment. Hold on for a minute. I want to let y'all know what's going on. And tomorrow night, a half hour meeting starting at 6:30 Central Time, 7:30 Eastern Time, and we will have it for one half hour, just 30 minutes of meeting, so I can let you all know what's going on. Okay, and I'll see you all on the live in the morning. God bless you all. I love you.
Okay.
Good night.
Amen.
Love you.
God bless.
Love you. Love you,
love
you all. Good night.
Love you.
Okay.
Right.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, my boy. Oh, AJ. Who is it? This weekend.
It's Mikey.
It's Mikey.